this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday at noon on the River 95.3, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to kick off season 2 of our podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every month, we'll release a new episode talking to different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode on our website at theriver953.com under the podcast tab, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for We Are REC. We are having a conversation today with John Arp. He is the Vice President of Engineering Operations and Power Supply for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of pressure too, I would imagine. Exactly what does all of that mean?
Operations, that's our line department, our linemen, servicemen that go out in the field or putting up poles, putting up wire, connecting members, connecting services. It's also the designers that support those line crews that are going out, determining what the members need, extending services, doing the drawings on paper, applying the construction standards and things of that nature. It's also the forward-facing employees that are answering the construction calls of developers and members that are in the process of building. They're the employees that work in our regional offices. They're in Blue Ridge, Front Royal, where you're at. And then also in our Culpeper, Louisa, and Bowling Green office. So it's really the majority of the field operations for our company. Engineering, those are the engineers, the professional engineers, electrical engineers that are primarily in our Fredericksburg office. We have a few that report out in the field as well. And they're the system planners. They're looking at future developments, at load growth, at system needs, at upgrades, ways to improve reliability, continue to meet the needs of our members. And then power supply is how we acquire generation and then redistribute that to our membership. And lastly, it's not in the title, but it is under the same manager as engineering. We've got our substations, our transmission, our equipment and apparatus group. They're building the high voltage, the transmission lines. They're building the substations, maintaining the substations, and doing the metering and taking care of all of the line equipment like the transformers, regulators, reclosers, things of that nature that we deploy on our system.
I remember in our last podcast conversation, a lot of what we talked about also involved safety mechanisms and safety measures. We're in the middle of this pandemic. Has that been a challenge to be able to keep all of your people safe in a different way than what you're traditionally used to?
It has been a challenge, but it's one that in the best interest of our employees and members that we were on top of from the very beginning. The service we provide to our members is very much an essential service. And we understand and we embrace that idea. And the employees and the communities we serve require that safety be first and foremost in what we do. As an example of that dedication to safety, we were well ahead of the curve in our response to the pandemic. It was just literally a matter of days after we started to hear about the pandemic impacting individuals here in the States that we began standing up pandemic guidelines, new guidelines specific to COVID protections. We were changing reporting schedules. We were enabling our employees to work remotely. We were keeping our employees up to date on the actions we were taking and why, and how these actions were helping them stay safe and healthy. As you indicated, one of the challenges is that our line crews, substation crews, member service field reps, apparatus technicians, all those folks that work in the field can't do their work from home. So we also had to take numerous precautions to help ensure their health and safety as well. It's rather amazing that throughout the pandemic, all these employees have been able to abide by and follow these new guidelines while still providing the critical services, outage restoration, and new service extensions that our members and communities required.
Electricity is considered an essential service to, I think, everybody on the planet. And I think a lot of us on the receiving end think it's just something as simple as walking around a power plant and make sure everything's humming, but it is not at all as simple as it looks.
No, not simple at all. Our mission statement, safety is first, but a close second is always reliability. And not only do we continue to apply all the tried and true reliability programs like line inspections, tree trimming, line upgrades, but we're also embracing new technologies that allow us to advance into the future with new innovations. And all this is to help ensure that reliability going forward. Just to give you some examples, we've installed automatic restoration devices at over a dozen of our key substations. These automation schemes sense when an outage occurs on the main line and then automatically transfer to another line to quickly restore service to hundreds or thousands of members within seconds. We have a fleet of over a dozen small drones and nearly three dozen of our line, substation, and forestry employees are FAA certified as drone pilots. So they can go out and operate these drones after an outage occurs or after a major storm to help fly our rights of way and identify where damage has occurred to help speed restoration. These are two things that we have done just recently, embracing new technologies that are having a huge impact in improving our reliability or decreasing our restoration time.
Did you find that there was, I'm assuming you found that there was a massive increase in demand when everybody suddenly shifted to working from home? Was that something that you guys had to address, or were you already prepared for that, pandemic or no pandemic?
Well, yes and yes. We were prepared. We're always prepared for growth. It's how we do our engineering that helps us prepare for where growth may occur. And it's essential to how we operate year in and year out. And if you look at the pandemic, the expectation was initially that the quarantines and the pandemic would have a negative impact on growth. And even though we did see a slight reduction in growth through 2020, it really wasn't consequential compared to 2019. We're very fortunate that we're in a very strong and stable area, and that we continued to see growth and development throughout 2020, throughout the pandemic. And that's a testament to the strength of the communities that we serve. Many cooperatives and other utilities across the country have seen very little growth or even negative growth. Some of the things REC has done to bring commercial developments into our region are developing a new position for REC, an economic development position that is going out and working with prospective new members, new businesses, new industries to show them why REC and the communities that we serve are so appealing. We've taken steps with industry experts to share our strengths, to share the strengths of our communities, and to show how our infrastructure continues to grow. With growth remaining strong, our region will continue to be vital and viable.
Well, it's interesting that you say that too, because I think sometimes those of us that are on the residential end of it, we don't really think a lot about the commercial end. And I had a conversation for this podcast series with Felicia Ainza and talked about how important it is on that commercial end that I never even considered, but that's how our communities grow, is when these larger companies relocate a data center or they add some new warehouse to our community that brings more jobs, which brings more houses, which ultimately I would guess helps you guys all the way around.
Absolutely right. Felicia has been and will continue to be instrumental in working with the commercial and industrial developers, because that's what drives a lot of communities. As you get commercial development, the residential growth will follow. And the converse of that is when you get pockets of residential growth where maybe some folks are moving into the suburbs from a large populous center like DC or Richmond or maybe even Winchester, the smaller commercials will follow the residential growth. So it's very much a symbiotic relationship between the commercial, industrial, and residential growth.
We hear a lot in the news these days about sustainable energy and how important it's going to be moving forward for the planet, much less for some of our local communities. Are you guys taking advantage or utilizing sustainable energy in any way?
In a manner of speaking, sustainability is on everyone's radar. I mentioned earlier that our mission statement had the words safe and reliable, but I'll quote our mission statement. Connecting our members and communities with safe, reliable, affordable, and sustainable energy solutions. Sustainability is a key aspect of our mission and culture. We have over 1,000 members that are participating in our net metering program, and that number continues to climb every day. Net metering is a program that allows a member to install renewable generation on their side of the meter, usually solar, and that generation offsets some or all of their energy needs. A few years ago, it appeared that REC would reach the Virginia mandated limit for the percentage of renewable generation our members were allowed. However, we understood that there were modifications coming to that law in the relatively near future. So we went ahead and allowed members to continue to add renewable generation despite us approaching that limit. REC has also embraced solar through our SunShare program. You may know it also as a community solar. In this, REC offers our members a way to participate and support solar renewable generation without having to install hardware at their home. The members can purchase blocks of solar energy. Again, we call those SunShares, and those blocks are applied directly to their bill each month. And as an added bonus, the solar power that goes into this program is generated there in the Winchester area. Our latest development, we are bringing online a large battery storage system. It's a 2 megawatt, 8 megawatt hour battery storage system. And to give you an idea of scale, that 2 megawatt could serve about 2,000 homes. And the 8 megawatt hour rating means that it could serve those 2,000 homes for approximately 4 hours. The primary use of this battery storage system is going to be to reduce our peak usage during extremely cold or extremely hot times of day. A large majority of the cost of our generation is determined by just a few hours per year when the usage is highest. So what this battery will allow us to do is charge the battery when power is in low demand or cheap, and then discharge it when power is in high demand or expensive. And by doing this, we save all of our members on their generation costs and help reduce the bill for everyone.
It's a genius idea. It seems kind of shocking when you're telling me about this now that we haven't thought about this sooner. I guess it's not as simple as, hey, why don't we just get some batteries?
Well, it is simple. The battery in this is large. It's about the size of 2 tractor trailers, if you see pictures of it. And it is as simple as a great big battery. It's the same technology that's in a lot of your cell phones. It's a lithium ion battery. It's just a matter of the technology catching up to the justification. So whereas a few years ago, the cost for batteries of this scale was extremely high, just in the matter of 5 to 6 years, the costs have reduced significantly that make it economical to apply batteries in this method. And that's what it's all about. It's neat and it's fun for engineers, but at the end of the day, it needs to have a positive benefit on our member service, or it needs to be able to reduce their cost for service. And it achieves both.
Are other co-ops using this in the state of Virginia, or are you guys the first?
As far as I know, we're the first in Virginia, and we're among the first in the nation. From a cooperative perspective, I know a lot of co-ops are still in the investigation stage, but with our time and engineering reviews, once we saw that the price was rolling off and falling to a point that it could be justified with those savings to our members, we didn't hesitate. We went ahead and jumped in with both feet and are happy we did, because now we have a project that is getting a lot of press, to put it mildly.
And I would imagine this is also something else that can definitely grow with your customers, because you'll have the expansion abilities to add more of these battery powered sites in all of the different locations to be able to kind of have them as your backups when you need them.
Yeah, the battery storage can act as a backup. And again, I gave you some numbers, roughly 2,000 members for 4 hours. And that is a benefit of the battery storage, but it's not the primary benefit. Again, we go back, it's the cost savings. One of the major cost savings with this one, and one of the reasons we could justify it, the substation where we placed it, which is, it's down in Brokenburg. I don't know if you know where that's at. It's down in our Bowling Green region. One of the reasons we could justify this is because the transformer there in the Brokenburg substation was nearing the time when it would need to be replaced and upgraded. So we needed a bigger transformer, a higher capacity transformer. So when we look at our equipment, that equipment has to be able to withstand the highest peak that it could possibly experience throughout the year. Typically, that's a very, very cold winter morning or possibly a very, very hot summer evening. Those times may only be a few hours or maybe a day every year that are requiring us to replace a multi-million dollar piece of equipment. So if we can use the energy stored in a battery to supplement the transformer that's already in place, we can delay the replacement of that transformer for years. And that further saves our members money, because they don't have to incur that expense until 5, 10, 15 years in the future. So that's yet another way that the battery storage helps save our members and be an operational benefit.
I would imagine from an internal perspective, it does allow you to plan more, because now instead of, oh gosh, we're going to have to recoup the cost of this transformer in the next year or two, you can look at it and say, okay, in the next 5 years, we're going to have to replace this transformer. So you can budget, you can plan, and that then makes it easier on me as a member owner and any expense that I may have to have because of it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Using the battery to supplement the transformer gives us the ability to make better decisions and do that construction in a way that is most economical. So we're not going out and having to purchase and having to upgrade and do all the work in year two. We can take incremental steps and spread that cost out over time. And that's one of the things that really pushed this location over the top, because of the savings we got by offsetting the need to replace that transformer right away. So that's kind of what we would look at in the future. Where are future battery storage locations going to result in the most beneficial outcome for our members? Where is it going to save them the most on line losses? Where is it going to save them the most on generation costs? Where is it going to save them the most on delayed capital expense? Those are all things that go into the equation of where do we put these and when do they become financially justifiable?
I think too that so often we're all, especially during this pandemic, we're living day to day, hour to hour. And it always has impressed me with the ability for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative to be doing this planning. It's not as simple as I think it is when I walk over here to turn on this light switch. Turning on that switch has involved years of you guys doing planning on your end to make sure everything comes together when it's supposed to.
Yeah, and you heard me say a few times when we were talking about the battery and the energy storage there at Brokenburg, that our equipment, our system has to be able to withstand the highest demands it could possibly experience. And that's one of the primary functions of that engineering group there in Fredericksburg and in our regional offices. They're constantly reviewing the areas of growth. They're constantly reviewing our circuit models where they can analyze what that growth is going to cause on that circuit. Is it going to cause low voltage? Is it going to cause the wire to overload? And then they're directing the future construction projects to upgrade those areas so that when the commercial and the residential and the industrial growth that we're seeing or that we anticipate gets there, the system's ready for them. We strive to be a proactive, not a reactive utility. And that's important because then, you know, we're ready and we're prepared when someone comes to us with a new data center or with a new housing development that we can tell them, yes, we're ready. We can serve you. And it's all thanks to the engineers, the process, the analysis that we do, applying historic growth rates, reviewing these circuits, which they do every year, and making sure that what we have is suitable and capable of serving not just today, but 3, 6, 10, 20 years into the future.
Well, John, thank you for taking some time out of your day to have this conversation. As always, I have learned so many things.
Well, thank you for having me, Janet. I really enjoyed the conversation.